I'm just laughing more already. Money, I want your money.
Ew.
I want more money, I want your money.
This is like the more theme money, song to our whole ass lives. Well, at least me,
yeah,
Denial.
Once upon a time, not long ago, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it. I won't take it back because I did this shit. I was a hoe.
And I'm admitting it. Bro. I won't take it back. I love this song. I was a
hoe. More money, I want your money. I want more money. I
want your money. One of my favorite lyrics is when she said, if I want to fuck him, I'll fuck him. But if he ain't got a buck, I'm going duck him. Like, yeah, facts. Facts, Marilyn.
It's so funny because watching her on Love & Hip Hop, I'm like, oh, my God. But I actually really do like this song. And it came out, oh, my God, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago.
Is she white?
She's as white as white gets.
Oh, my God.
She just wears lace fronts and braids, and I don't understand it. But I think she would be great on this show. So I would love to, like, see what she on. Mariah Lynn, if you listen, go ahead and check us out, girl. Holla at us.
Hey, y'all.
Anyways, guys, welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. This your girl, Mandy B.
And I'm Wheezy WTF.
And I guess we want to start the show off by saying thank you to everybody who came to the live show.
And we're sorry we didn't have an episode for you guys last week, but, you know, we were just super exhausted.
Super fucking exhausted. It was quite just, it was just a lot going on with our moms in town. It was our first live show, which, by the way, sold out twice. And we've gotten such great feedback from everybody, and we're only going up from here.
Oh, I can't believe nobody said it. So, like, even when, like, I was asking my friends, like, please just tell me the truth.
What was bad.
Tell me the truth. And they were like, it was, bro, like, I mean, everybody sent me a text while I was on stage, like, this is amazing. And
yeah.
I was shocked because I just never thought it could be that good. I mean, even the reaction that people had afterward, that's when I knew it was good. Because
yeah.
We've been to other podcast live shows.
And so just
and
the
I
comparison.
Didn't see them act like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And it was so awesome, too. I actually had my coworkers come, and both of them are virgins. And
what?
Yes, both of my coworkers are virgins. So I'm like, did y'all go to the bar? They didn't even drink. They're like super safe.
They're super, just they don't mean get
super,
dick, don't mean
super
they can't get
safe, sweet girls.
Oh, the bar. That's right. We were sponsored by
Avion Tequila.
It was so dope. Like,
shout out. So, and that's something that we were able to offer the guests who came, and they found out the day before or the day of. I text everyone, was
dude,
like, hey,
if
guys,
if we knew that we had free liquor, y'all niggas would have
y'all would have paid Mo. But we actually shout out to Avion Tequila for sponsoring us last minute. We also had Ips popcorn, and they're like a protein healthy shit. I was like, Maul, I got your healthy shit, because Maul from the Joe Budden podcast is actually he's like on a
speaking
health trip
of
right
Maul,
now.
Did you see that him and Loverboy knew each other?
No, I didn't.
Bitch.
Of course. Maul knows everyone in the basketball realm.
Wait.
Okay, guys.
He's not a basketball player.
But he's on the scene of it. But anyways, so we had Ips Popcorn, shout out to them. And we also had Va Va Voom, which was actually an orgasm clitoris cream. And it's to help you reach an orgasm during sex.
I can't wait to try it out.
Shout out to our sponsors for the show. I also want to go ahead and shout out Get Lashed LA. They sponsored me with my lashes. And go ahead and check the description in this bio. They're actually going to give our listeners 20% off.
Nice.
So we'll go ahead and drop the code in there and tag them on our Horrible Decisions page. I don't know. It was just really exciting. We told some stories that, guys, we haven't shared with y'all yet.
Oh, my God.
And mind you, both of our moms were just sitting on the side of the stage. And here goes Wheezy. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Mom. Mom, sorry. I'm just sorry, Mom.
I don't know why I kept saying that. And the strange thing is my mom and I are so close, but like saying it in front of people, then my mother was there, made me feel like she would be embarrassed. Her friends were there. You saw the two old white
yes,
people in the front?
Yes, I saw, yeah.
And I was like, holy fuck. And it's so funny. After they were done, they're like old New York City people. They're like, oh my, you know, you did a great job, honey. It was hilarious. I'm like,
what's
thanks,
crazy
Marsha.
People were really like, it's like a talk show and you guys spoke so well. I don't know why some of my friends acted like they didn't know I could speak.
I don't know if it was because I had a blazer on, but I felt less like a ratchet hoe.
Oh, yeah, we definitely dress classy. I made it a point to wear dress pants instead of a bodysuit.
Dude, one of my friends, Gabby, who was so funny. She sent me a text after and was like, girl, you just did that show with such class. And I'm laughing. I'm
class.
Like, bro, we fucking had a banana dick sucking contest. Mandy did sex positions on stage. I told a story about how I tricked a nigga into giving me Plan B money that didn't need to be given. But thank you.
I talked about fucking someone and only knowing their at name. And I'm just like, and here goes my mother P. Muna, I'm gonna beat your ass when I see you. So one of our previous guests decided to ask our mothers, do you swallow or take the cum on your face?
Don't say it. They have to do Patreon to hear what your mom said.
Well, no. And then my mom said something crazy. So for you guys who have subscribed to Patreon, you will the video footage will be up this weekend. Lord Proppa, I'm waiting on him to send me the footage. But we'll also go ahead and be releasing behind the scenes from videos that our friends captured. And we will also be posting pictures, some that we haven't posted on our Instagram page. So we'll get more into Patreon at the end of the show and let you guys know how you guys can help us. And so I guess we'll do, I guess we'll go into the kink of the week.
Because
the
know,
kink
I'm
of the
just,
week
I'm
leads
like,
into
so
an
excited
update.
About the show. I could talk about it forever.
I know. We can definitely talk about it.
I'm trying to think. Oh, my God. The girl that fucking did DP, bro. That bitch was down.
So before the show, we had Sam Whiteout. Shout out to our host. You guys loved him, by the way. We had him host two shows. Two game shows. Or, yeah, games, whatever.
Quote and, a hoe.
Quote a hoe. And the like, our listeners had to guess who said what. And Weezy came up with some really good quotes. I don't know if you can.
One of my favorite ones was the bonus quote. He said, all bitches need is God and a good dick. and they'll be smiling. And nobody realized that was Lethal Lips. But anything that pretty much had to do with, like, throwing up and getting wasted and being emotional, everybody knew it was me. And then
and
my
then,
favorite
yeah,
quote from you.
Here we go with this one. What, the plan B?
I'm taking plan B with billionaires. I ain't having no fucking baby. And then the fact that... No, everybody knew that was
me. Everyone knew that was me, bitch. Because, yeah, I know.
Yeah, but no, like, there was a girl that we had, like, a Never Have I Ever game. And me and Mandy are in, like, the back, right, getting our makeup done. And I hear him say, has anyone ever done DP? And then everybody goes, whoa!
Because there was a girl who stayed
up during
the show. Do you
know how she won? Loverboy told me when we were at dinner the other night, he said, the final question was, have you ever fucked a celebrity? And she was the last one standing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I wonder if she fucked 24/7.
Doubt it. No, let me stop. You know what's so crazy? You bring him up and he has been literally, he just... So he's actually, for those who follow me
Felon
on Instagram.
Made you miss hood niggas?
No, actually, shut up. Well, Felon Bae is actually no longer Felon Bae. For those of you who follow me on Instagram and came to the live show, just as quickly as he entered my life, he also exited it. He is back incarcerated.
By the
goddammit.
Way, I did not know. I think you led me to believe he had just got out. He's been out for 3 years.
He's been out for 2 years.
2 years, sorry.
Yeah, he's been out for 2 years. He did 8 years.
People were asking about him doing the show.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny. I thought he would have been there. Speaking of niggas
I
that
wanted
was in attendance,
him to be
y'all
there.
Y'all barely let us say, welcome to Horrible Decisions, before some bitch took her finger and said, is that Loverboy? And she... I said, well, let's get this started.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go.
So my ex-girlfriend was there too, which was hilarious because when I was dating her is when I met him. And they were both, I could see them both like turn and look at each other. And then she was like, oh, it's been nice to finally meet him. He was like, yeah, I saw that bitch. I was
That's funny.
Yeah, and another person that I slept with was also in attendance too. Like, I just really appreciated that lovers... two women and then him, but that lovers could be there and like support me and all be in the same room and get along. And I was just like, this is just my one happy hoe family.
Yeah. You know? A lot of my lovers live out of town, but they bought tickets even though they didn't show up.
A lot of people bought tickets for us that it was still crazy packed. But.
Yeah. And Felon Bae would have been there. It was planned for him to be there. And that's why he actually, so he ended up listening to the episode that we talked about him on.
What did he say?
And you know what? He wasn't upset about me calling him Felon Bae. He laughed at it. The part that pissed him off the most was, I guess, he caught that I said he had a schmedium dick. And he rode my ass about saying that. And I was like, but it fits in me. I still like you.
It's like
cool.
A pocket. It fits
it's
like
cool.
A glove.
You know, you're good. And so, yeah, he's no longer
I wanted to
in the picture.
Say
so.
Something that's super dope I thought that happened. We did a meet and greet after and got to meet so many of you. I hung out with a couple from Cleveland after. I really liked them. They were so.
Oh yeah, they were super
they had no,
cool.
No social media. The girl sent us like an email. I was like, thanks so much.
Yeah, she was super
she
dope.
Was
I,
so
I
cute.
Do want to give a shout out, I guess, to the people who traveled. We had
That's
guests
right,
from
I hung out with Chrissy
Toronto.
And her friend Karen.
Shout out Chrissy from Chicago. Also,
I don't know her name from Toronto. I feel bad.
I don't know, but shout out homegirl from Toronto. Shout out
the chick who was there at 4 p.m. and helped us set up chairs
from
Boston.
Oh my God, she came so early that the venue just let her in, and she was like, hi, I'm up. She was 3 hours early, by the way. And she just walked in and she's like, just can I help? It. I really want to help.
I think she thought I was screaming at her because I was like, are you fucking kidding me? She's doing charity. And she bought a ticket.
And she was just super dope. Also, shout out to TJ and his wife, which is the couple from
the teacher.
Baltimore. Yeah, so she's a teacher. She came in and did her rap that she did at the Brilliant Idiots show, which is where I met them. And they also, shout out if you guys want to listen to a couples podcast, they have one called Quarrels, the Quarrels Show, I believe.
Yeah, Lover Quarrel.
Lover's Quarrel.
No, there was a group of three girls that came up to us. They were so adorable. And they said, so we had raffles that were giveaways for sex toys. And the final raffle is a threesome date with me and Mandy where we take somebody out. So these girls come up to us maybe 10 minutes before the raffles are called. They were like, we always write you guys DMs, I think they said. And they were like, we just want to smoke y'all out sometime or like kick it or whatever. And I said, oh, maybe you'll win the raffle. And then suddenly they call it and the bitch screams.
And it's so funny because everyone else that we're taking pictures with was Yahoo's playing that shit. I was like, I don't know.
No, it
wasn't planned.
Shit, she fucking deserves it. So we're going to hang out with her on Sunday. We're going to
somewhere
Soho,
in the fucking
Soho.
In Soho. Somewhere
I looked up
far
best
as
brunches.
Fuck. But
no,
yeah, so
that was cool. And I was going to say, I'm losing my train of thought, but yeah, I really liked that. And I wish we could do this every time. And I hope we can. People that flew in, I think we hung out with all of them after for food, right?
Yeah, most of them, not all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, because the other girls from Chicago was like, y'all invited the other girls from Chicago, but not of us. And I was like,
we just
all went to Empanada
Mama
after.
That girl, a few of our listeners took pictures with us and I was like, oh, tag us in them. And they were like, I don't have social media. And that fucked me up because I thought, damn, you really listened to this podcast. You followed it. You fucking had to listen to our voices to go on event, right? Because you don't see us posting it and you still are here.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Well, we're going to get right into the show for this week. And so, as you guys know, we like to begin with a kink of the week. And this one just, it resonates with me kind of now in my life.
Oh, God.
But no, it's rather interesting. So the kink of the week for this week is hybristophilia. And hybristophilia is a paraphilia in which sexual arousal, facilitation, and attainment of orgasm are responsive to and contingent upon
how much money he got.
No, bitch. Oh. Being with a partner known to have committed an outrage, cheating, lying, known infidelities, or crimes such as rape, murder, or armed robbery.
Being attracted to those things or fucking or getting orgasm?
It's actually being attracted and finding attraction and orgasm to those type of people.
Dude, I don't want to talk about this rape thing because me and Loverboy just had a conversation about me wanting to play this scene out and I feel like
Different. That's something completely different. With this particular kink, it's people who are aroused by knowing that their partners did these crimes. So, I
used to get put my pussy wet for drug dealers. Does that count? Or is it a money thing?
No, it's actually people who are incarcerated, people who are in jail or have been in jail.
What do you Google to find this, Mandy?
Prison Bay kinks or some shit like that. I was like, kinks of people in jail. Cause you know, I'm sitting here and I know I told y'all that I am not a ride or die. And I literally had a whole conversation with my coworkers today. Like, so this letter that I write him in jail, is it handwritten? Do I say
handwritten.
Dear?
You can't type it.
I know. So I'm actually considering writing Felon Bay.
Can we
while
hear
he's
it?
In Rikers.
At least some of it.
Okay. When I write it, I'll share with y'all the story.
You know what niggas be doing in jail? Tell me. I want to know. Please tweet Mandy or we're going to, I'm working on our horrible decisions Twitter. I'm trying to keep it to the one that you guys already know that's like locked down, but tweet us about if this is true or not. Why do niggas from jail always draw shit and send you artwork? And
because
like
they're bored. That's why. Like, I'm not going to lie. I talked to him and I told him.
I went
you,
to jail
like,
for 3 days and I was drawing
his
shit,
vocabulary
too.
was so well. I was like, what the fucking books they give y'all in jail? Goddamn, you sound...
You articulate as fuck.
You articulate as fuck. So it's funny because as I was looking this up, I was like, why would someone be attracted to someone in jail? And so I looked it up. These are a couple of reasons. Tell me if any of these make sense. Some believe that they can change a man as cruel and powerful as a serial killer.
Girl.
Others see the little boy that the killer once was and seek to nurture him. A few hope to share in the media spotlight or get a book or movie deal. However, this was one of the best explanations of this. And I think that this comes to sense with maybe some of the relationship discussions we've had. Then there's the notion of the perfect boyfriend. She knows where he is at all times and knows that he's thinking about her. While she can claim that someone loves her, she does not have to endure the day-to-day issues involved in most relationships. There's no laundry to do, no cooking for him, and no accountability to him. She can keep the she can keep the fantasy charged up for a long time.
That
and when
is
I
the
read
most
that,
reasonable one.
I said, that makes a lot of sense.
That's the most reasonable one.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's weird because I don't have that fascination. Of course, I met Felon Bay outside of jail. And I'm mad that he's had this impact on me to where I actually want to write him.
Dude,
I'm fucking confused.
I feel so guilty to say this, but the thing that I can correlate closest to that is having long distance relationships. And I've been in a lot.
But you don't feel in control of over that either. To me, when they're out, you still know that they can do whatever the fuck they want to do.
I don't know. The long distance relationships, I feel like it's like less shit to argue about. Like, it's all like anticipating seeing each other. Oh, it's going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. Bitch, fuck. You know how many movies I've watched with Loverboy at this point? I want that nigga to go back, come back, wee vibe me, and then my pussy get away. I'd be like, oh my God, 10 more days. Shit. That's what I'm looking for.
So I wanted, this actually brought me to this, and it's a site that I knew of for a while because I make jokes with all of my guys who live in other states, and I'm like, if I wanted a pen pal, I'd go to inmate.com. So for you guys listening to the show right now.
What do you mean? You can just click on different ones?
I would love for you guys, if you're currently listening, get onto your cell phones.
Are you about to give them his name?
No, bitch.
Oh.
Type in inmate.com. And
put our podcast on speaker, get it out, get your headphones out.
And so inmate.com is inmates seeking friendship outside of
Give
prison
me my
walls.
Phone. I wanna,
no, because don't... well, I'm gonna pass you mine. I'm gonna read the first one because I literally spent probably an hour going through these with my roommate, and it's so much fun. So here is, I'm not gonna say his
he
name.
Cute as
he kinda cute, right? So I'm reading one now.
Just let me get him.
Hold on, bitch. I'm gonna read one and you can read them. Calm down.
I
don't
wanna see these niggas.
Do you want him?
I want the perfect
actually,
boyfriend.
So I'm on here and they actually have bios like you would on match.com. And so
can the inmates access this website?
Yes. I guess in prison you have access to computers.
Yeah, they do, because I've done a computer like chat.
So this one, the bio says, are you the one I'm looking for? Okay. And so I'll just read maybe his first, you know, thing. It gives me great pleasure to have this opportunity of meeting a special woman I can devote my undivided attention to. If you happen to be her, if you happen to be her, then I'm reaching out with high hopes of touching you. And it doesn't have to be physically in order for you to feel me. Clearly.
He's right.
I seek to stimulate your mind with uplifting thoughts, caress your heart with my conscience-loving care.
And get some commissary, my
and
bitch.
And ultimately be a positive motivating presence in your life. I desire a lady who's equally looking for something meaningful. So at the bottom of these, mind you, he has a long paragraph explaining who he is.
Dude, we could do this for the rest of the episode, honestly.
No, bro.
Do we have other shit to talk
yes,
about?
Yes, we do.
Because I want to do this.
No, but so when you go on, you read their bio, their information, and then at the very bottom it has personal information.
You bitch, this is Tinder for jail. Give
so
it to me.
Wait.
You know I'm good at this.
I said,
I
can you calm down?
Because
I said you're going to read another one.
I want
to
get
you
one.
You have to calm down sometimes. So this one, the personal information, you have their sex, race, date of birth, height, weight, and it also gives you the length of their sentence, incarceration date, and what they were convicted of. This particular guy,
can you filter them?
Was incarcerated in 2003. The length of his sentence is 15 years. And he is convicted of attempted murder and drive-by shooting. I was just like, oh, Lord. And a couple of them, you see murder. You see first degree. You see if they sold drugs.
So, like, wait, is there a cost associated?
Not that I saw, no. Like, basically.
So how do they make money? Click ads on it?
Click here to send message. No, it's free for us.
You must have to pay for shit.
No, something... and then it says, please write. Their whole address is at the bottom as well.
Man, ain't nobody
so
doing
do you
this.
So do you want to just find one,
no,
I guess, to read?
I don't
read.
Even want to find one, dude. I just want to look at these dudes. He was cute. Let me see. Inmates seeking friendship outside of prison walls. While society at large has social media to thank for new friendships, relationships, and insights, it's total social exclusion for an inmate, not only physical, but psychological.
This is her first time seeing the site, by the way, guys. So she's just...
Look at this geeky ass motherfucker.
Can you not read names?
We don't know him. This is on Google. Ian is cute as... I'd fuck the shit. What's up? I'm a Virgo and my name... Seattle, I'm green eyes, 6 foot tall. What's that? 170 and a lean athletic build.
Okay, can you go down? What is his conviction? What is he in jail
Hold
for?
Hold on. I'm an artist and welder by trade, and I'm a licensed tattoo artist, and I define man shit. What?
Okay, man shit.
American dream, no games, no bull. I'm wasting precious life, I feel like, I'm not challenging myself. Ooh. I've been in prison for 7 years, 3 left. I'm ready to be home and get going with life. White male, we know I like that. Let's say 12 years for a first degree possession of a firearm. That's it? Oh, attempted robbery. Oops.
Oh, attempted robbery too.
Attempted, bitch. Ooh, bitch, I noticed your type. Let me see.
Here you go with my... What?
Mr. Worth the Wait. Bitch, I'm a... Excuse me, beautiful. Send me photos. I was dumped because of my incarceration. Hold on, I'm sorry. I want to scroll up really quick. Let me tell you what these niggas is doing in jail. My 6 favorite songs to start your own My Dre's playlist. Let's see how old they are. 3 of them are R. Kelly.
Of course.
What did he do? Distribution. Sorry.
What is it? Distribution of cocaine? Yeah, I think I saw him already, girl. I think I already looked at that one.
Fine. Yo, this is dope,
and he
though.
Looks like he's a...
But these niggas are sitting around in jail and being like, yo, you ain't got nobody to put your money up? I got you. Log on this shit, blah, blah, blah. A lot of these dudes are really good looking. And I guess these pictures are from when they were out. I wonder how...
No, some of them are actually inside. Like,
some of them are inside, but a lot of them are like ones from... I wonder if...
Maybe
like,
from family members.
Oh, wow, you can connect your Facebook to it.
I didn't sign
Come
up.
Come on, Mark Zuckerberg. This is dope. Oh, so did you find Felon Bay on here?
Felon Bay just got incarcerated. I doubt he's
I don't know
on
if he
here.
Had a... You can save your profile and pause it.
No, I actually...
Or suspend your account.
No,
until...
fuck you. No, fuck you. No, I had my friend who's actually been in jail. I said, I need a favor. I said, can you find his... Because I know I need like his jail cell number or whatever the fuck they call it. You know, I know they go by numbers and not names in jail because I watch all these jail shows. So I was like... Can you find out where he is? He was like, right on it, girlfriend. Found it for me like in seconds. It was like, oh, he's been transferred to Rikers. So he's now at Rikers.
Holy shit.
And so I don't know how long he's going to be there.
Would you visit him? I mean, you're willing to write him.
Visit him? No. Not while I got 24/7 dicking me down the way he is, bitch.
That's interesting. What was he? He violated probation, right?
Violated parole.
And let me just say, yeah. Like, this is when it doesn't get funny anymore because I really fucking believe they just let niggas go and just try to keep them down. Like, this is total systematic.
No, and so I want to ask him. I mean, I would love you guys' comments because I've never written a letter to someone in jail, so I don't know if it's wrong for me to ask him, nigga, why the fuck are you in there? Like, what happened? Because it was literally, he was supposed to come over after his meeting with his parole officer, and bitch, he just went ghost.
Like, well, you have to use a lot of, like, I think something that we forget about writing letters is like, we're used to like instant gratification, text back forth, back forth, back forth. When you write a letter to someone, I actually wrote an email to Loverboy the other day because my phone went out and I was like, God, I feel like I'm writing a love note. But it has to be longer. You have to say everything you need to say.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to anticipate that letter back. It's kind of a nice feeling. I mean, I've done letters with friends in jail and lovers or whatever, ex-lovers, but I think one thing you should talk about is like how you feel about him and you're sorry. And you.
I'm so mad that he has me feeling this way. We was only fucking for like 5 weeks.
Bitch, that cuddling, it's literally, bitch.
It was the cuddling and the kiss on the forehead. I am convinced.
Why? Isn't that why I started crying?
Bro, he kissed me on the forehead.
Episode
and
four,
I just felt like...
Golden shower and tears. If you wonder why, where he got his name from, episode 4. That nigga started touching my face while I was sleeping and I was out.
Yeah, and so the kiss on the forehead and me actually enjoying his company was something for me. So, yeah.
What is the horrible decision this week?
The horrible decision, guys, for this week, I actually wanted to talk about dating multiple partners, and I wanted to talk about in reference to She's Gotta Have It.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who may have seen it or may have not seen it, there is a Spike Lee remake on Netflix, which is a remake of the original movie, She's Gotta Have It, that featured Spike Lee. And in this show on Netflix, you're seeing Nola Darling, who is a black kind of artist from Brooklyn, New York, very beautiful. And in the show, she's super fine. And in the show, you see her with these multiple partners and how each of them bring out a different side to her. And I feel like the show is about me. I ain't gonna hold you, because she has one lover who is a young guy who she just has fun with. He's fun. He's funny.
Yeah.
He brings her spirits up.
I'm like on episode 8, but I always thought like if at the end it's one person, I felt like it would be him.
I felt like it would be him as well. Like, and he was just so down for her. Then you have.
But that's, you know what that is? I'm sorry, but you're so down because he has nothing else going on.
You think so? You think it's a broke thing? He does live with a sister.
Man, all the broke niggas give me the best attention, bro. Like,
You're right. Well, and then the second guy that she was dealing with was Greer. Greer is this model who is apparently supposed to be really good looking and hung.
Super duper to up me, his ass. He wasn't that fine to me, but...
To me, he wasn't that fine.
I understand, like, how he has, like, the perfect look. To me, when... That means, like, you type of black dudes, white girls be like, oh, my God.
For sure. And it's so funny because while I was watching the show, I don't know if you guys noticed, I feel like maybe he's so flamboyantly gay in real life that he couldn't act like a straight man. Because
is he gay in real life?
Bitch, he has to be, because there was no way he was straight. I wasn't convinced.
Me neither.
The entire season, I was not convinced.
They were sitting in a French restaurant, and I was like, this isn't a European thing. This is a gay thing.
This is a, he was
Even
definitely,
though I did play the game European or gay a lot.
He definitely did. And then, of course, you had Jamie. And Jamie was the guy who's still married, who was financially secure and broke her off some bread.
That probably made me think of you, too.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you had Opal with her fine ass.
Bro, I started following her. I masturbated to her the other
She's
night.
She's super beautiful. And to me, this was also me, because when I get fed up with all my niggas, I go back to dealing with women. And I feel like that's what Opal was to Nola.
I had a conversation today over lunch, and not even realizing that this was our episode today, but I was having lunch with Agard, who I work with, and he's like, I'm so fucking tired of people acting like this Nola Darling shit is cool. Like, it's cool to be a hoe.
What?
Yo, I'm sitting there with my girl Maya and him, and I'm like, what?
No.
And I said, let me tell you something, bro. He's like, girl's looking up to her. They're like, she's so dope. He's like, even the way she starts the episode is like, I'm not a hoe. I don't like labels, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I feel like it's almost a joke, because there's been so many shows out there with men doing this, and I've never heard you get this upset. And I said to him, if I started dating another guy that wasn't Loverboy, what would you do? Would you call me a hoe to my face? Dude, I was like, I know you care about me. You wouldn't do it, would you? And he was like, well, no. I said, he's like, I mean, unless you started fucking him, then you're a hoe. I said, what?
What?
I said, you even told me to start fucking with other niggas when he made me mad. And now you want to sit here and fucking tell me that? Bruh, I was so frustrated, because I think it's just like, you're not a hoe if I know you. Because I know he wouldn't call me a hoe if I did that. But if I
mean,
could
he
see-
may think it, but not say it.
Like, the labeling is how we view people the second we see them, just like what she had.
But what's crazy is even her lovers were doing it to her when she wore the little black dress. So she wore the little black dress, and she wore it with each lover, and they all responded a different way. Like, basically, this guy was trying to rub up on her. And
I got annoyed
and Mars
with the way she
like,
reacted to Mars about it, like, oh, well, like...
You have this black dress on, but that's kind of a part of the Me Too conversation. Well, yeah, he was like, well, look at that dress. I'd rub up on you, too. And that's kind of what we deal with.
I didn't remember hearing that.
It's what we deal with the society as far as right now with the rape culture. It's like, just because I dress sexy doesn't mean I ask for that attention.
No, it wasn't him. It was the photo thing. That kind of annoyed me.
Which photo? Oh, with Greer.
When he was like, oh, you're so sexy, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you painted him, too, just because he called you sexy.
She did.
It's okay for him to bark at you when he's fucking you and do all this weird animalistic shit. That part I didn't like. There's a few things. I'm going to tell you this thing. I'm starting to like the show. First episode, didn't like. Watched it with Enoch, James, and Christopher, and we were like, eh. I feel like I don't like shows where people are, like, talking to the camera a lot. House of Cards did that very well.
Well, I do. House of Cards did it, and so did the Bernie Mac show. Like, you have...
There's not a lot of shows that can do it well.
I liked it.
I didn't like it with the men talking to the camera.
Okay.
And so that threw me off. It got way better towards the middle for me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like the show a lot. I'm trying not to give a lot of things away, but just talking in terms of the personalities. But there's a few things that I kind of got annoyed with this show. I like the assault piece and how she had to get over it and went to a therapist for it and blah, blah, blah. But I didn't like how... She needed to show the men in her life treating her this way. Like, I don't know. It made me feel like if you're polyamorous, then at some point, like, men are going to view you in this way, or they're going to say these comments to you and stuff like that because you fuck with a bunch of niggas. I don't like that, because the truth is, in polyamorous relationships that I've known about, whether black or white, generally these partners are very open with their other like, the person is very open with the other, right? They're like, I'm dealing with this amount of people, blah, blah, blah. And there's not so much judgment on the other side, because they're in this relationship too. Other people outside judge you, but I think it didn't shine a good light for women to be polyamorous because in her mind,
that's the thing. So, and I think
each man treated her that way.
Well, no, but in her mind, she was polyamorous because she was dating these three people.
I think she is polyamorous.
Right, but the three men involved did not agree to be in the polyamorous relationship, so it wasn't a polyamorous relationship.
It's not, because if they couldn't have not agreed or not. Well, no, because they were doing it and accepting
well,
it.
Well, no, they knew that she wasn't. What's the word? Exclusive to them. They all wanted her to be exclusive to them. They definitely each tried.
That was also unrealistic too.
I want commitment. I want this. I want that. And she wasn't giving it to them. So it's not like they agreed to just sit here and, okay, you're poly. I'm going to be poly too and let you date. They all wanted to be exclusive with her and take her further in a relationship. But she was content with where she was. And it's so funny because I just had a conversation similar to her dealings with A. King. Shout out if you guys listen to the Combat Jack show. So we talked about this, and he asked kind of why I'm single. And I think that this was kind of where Nola was in her life as well. She was in a space where she was getting her shit together. All her shit wasn't together where she right. wanted to be. But these specific people made her happy in different ways, but not one of them fulfilled everything. And so that's why.
Right. And I actually, when I was talking about that with Agar today, I mentioned the King Noir episode when he made the Pretty Ricky connotation. He said yes. something like, you know, you like Pretty Ricky. I don't. It's okay for you to go out and find someone that does. I wanted to bring up something. How long have we been recording? Can you tell me?
40 minutes.
30 minutes? That's it?
Oh, bitch, we going.
Well, let me tell y'all this. So I have been seeing a therapist
for things. Oh, wait.
Because Nola Darling was a lot of the reason that I changed.
So, guys, I ain't even going to hold you. I literally sat here and I'm going to tell them because I like them to know behind the scenes. So,
oh, my God.
So we didn't really.
Don't get so deep, Mandy.
I am going to get a little deep because I sat here and so I'll admit, so me and Weezy were going through hell for quite some time. And I was talking to all my friends about it. And I didn't understand why every time we talked, like, it just got worse and worse. And for those of you who don't know, I stopped talking to Lawyer Bay because I just felt the energy was so negative. And I was proud of you for doing this. So I guess Weezy kind of felt the tension in one of the sessions. She came to me and was like, I guess it's time for me to tell you I've been seeing a therapist. And I guess I'll let you get into more in depth what you've been speaking with them about and how this has affected you on not only a relationship level, a professional level. We have this right. business together. And it kind of made me take a step back because I was just like, why the fuck is everything bring every little thing was starting an argument. If you guys are members of Patreon, you guys heard the episode where we just
people
fucking
were saying it wasn't that bad, and I'm like, we must find a lot of it.
It was fucking trash.
Girl from Cleveland was like, I didn't think it was that bad. I'm like, you're just being nice. It was bad.
Yeah, and so this was also before,
but it wasn't just
you came
me
out.
Because people were like, Mandy, you were tripping.
No, bitch, I was not tripping. But this is the thing too, and this is what my friend said listening to it. You could have seen how I could have taken what you said out of context. But to me, there was just a lot of other conversations we've had previously to what had led me to take it a certain way that people don't hear on the show.
So the reason I thought about bringing it up just now is because Nola Darling is the reason I needed a black one. So I don't know what the stressors in my life that have caused it. But I used to think at first when it was happening of feelings of just like emptiness or like loneliness were just because Loverboy wasn't here. So I thought, okay, he's gonna be home and it's fine. He's home. He is doing everything I could have asked for, and I still feel terrible. And I could not understand what it was. So I was like, you know what? I need to start seeing a therapist. And it was a little bit before he got home that I knew I needed to do it. But started seeing a therapist and like realizing some things about whether it just be my professional life or things that I don't have in New York that I have at home. So I'm always feeling like I need to leave to get back to myself, where I'm not making this landmark for myself in New York. Started watching Nola Darling. And
She's Gotta Have It.
I'm sorry, I keep saying that. Started watching She's Gotta Have It, and her friend is like, I got you. I'm going to get you a black therapist, whatever. It's going to be great. And I was like, watching the connection she had with this woman, and I was like,
yeah,
oh, my God, dude. So a few days ago, I've only had one conversation with my new, I think, did I say it on Horrible Decisions?
You said it on the live, on the Instagram story.
I'm talking to my therapist, Judy, who I was chosen for me through my insurance. And she's been all right. You know, like she like let me know like, okay, you're experiencing feelings of depression. It's kind of common there's something called SAD, seasonal affective disorder or something.
Okay.
I watch Broad City. You can get a SAD lamp. which is a lamp that you can plug in to, like, shoot all this vitamin D out at you, basically, like the sun. It's like $40 on Amazon, and you can just stare into it or leave it on, and people say they feel better and they feel energized.
That's so weird.
Because you wake up, it's dark. You go back from work, it's dark. Like, you don't really see any light anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, for
seasonal.
Now.
So
for
it's seasonal. A seasonal affective disorder, okay. Or some shit. I don't know the middle A word. So anyway, I tell her yesterday I was getting really comfortable. Not yesterday, whatever day that was. I was getting really comfortable. I'm in her office. And I'm discussing a conversation I had with a colleague. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? And this nigga just always blah, blah, blah. And she said, this what?
Wait, she had a problem with you saying nigga?
She said, no. Oh, wait, who are we talking about? Because I got confused. And I was like, I got confused. And then I'm like, hold on. Are you about to ask me if he's black? Because I said that. And because you know when you be mad, you be like, these motherfuckers, these niggas, da, da, da.
Right, right,
and
right.
You're talking about someone in general.
Right.
She looked so uncomfortable. And I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore.
Judy, this isn't going to work.
I said, and she says, oh, do you feel like therapy isn't working for you? I was like, I feel like I need a black woman or a black man. And I'm sorry, maybe even Latino, but there's a disconnect with me and you. And it's because you're white.
Right.
Loverboy told me I was so fucking wrong for doing this. I said, well, let me tell you why I found out I was right. Find a therapist online. Literally typed in black New York therapist. Found one chick, spoke to her on the phone. She was super cool. She was so booked up. She's like, yo, I know we're unicorns. I'm sorry, girl. Hit me up in a month. Found this black dude. He's black and Dominican. I get on the phone with him for about 20 minutes. We start talking. I already knew I liked him because I said something. I'm like, he's like, why did you think you need someone black? I was like, I don't know, man. There's just this underlying thing of me feeling like the person I'm talking to voted for Trump. He's like, I fucking know exactly what you're saying. Fuck him. I was like, anyway, so let me come to your office tomorrow. Sat with this dude, started talking about a few things and my life, my relationship, my family, my friends. And one of the things that he said, which is why I wanted to talk about it, was that he thinks my podcast has an influence on, he said, that's the
your
only,
emotions.
Yes. He says, you even talking to you right now, you're laughing, you're telling jokes with me, but there's this private side to you where you seem to get totally upset when you're alone, and I can't figure out what it is. And the only new thing in your life besides your relationship is your podcast. He says that a lot of people that have newfound fame, not saying we're famous, but he says, you know, he's in New York, he meets a lot of people. He says, your fame could be 1,000 people, but it's all your world. And he was like, and now you're telling everything to tens of thousands of people online, and they have the space to judge you, whether we go on Lipstick Alley, whether it's in my Instagram box, whether anybody hears it, whether it's a fake page, you're gonna hear it. He's like, so if you decide to do something, like let's say sleep with someone else that's not Loverboy, whatever,
like
you said his name,
right,
you might think that someone's gonna hear this and judge you, either cheering for you, rooting for you. Someone may not like it, someone's gonna call you a hoe, he might hear it. He's like, everything is aired out and there's nothing that you have that's private, and it's very hard.
Now, can I ask you a question about that? Because I found it odd, and I don't know exactly where you were, the state of mind, I don't know if you were drunk. So when you were in Orlando, you got on Instagram Live or the IG story and was like, yeah, so I'm missing an earring and it must have been in the guy's house that ate my pussy last night.
I didn't say that.
Bitch, yes, you did.
Okay, I didn't say ate my pussy last night. I said it might be at somebody's house.
Because you got crazy head last night.
Okay,
bitch, you
now
did.
You're telling that story.
Well, you came out and told it to open,
you
and
know
I was
what?
Just like,
I literally got back to myself when I got to Orlando. So I haven't been
the
seeing
the whole phase was resurrected.
You seen him?
She was like, y'all, I lost my earring. So today I
you
got
know what's
a
funny
paper
about
clip
him?
In here.
That dude came to Orlando. He's so dope. A friend of mine came to Orlando and came to New York, and the second Loverboy saw me posting me, he's like, I know you sucked his dick. I know you fucking did it. And I really didn't do anything with him. When I got to Orlando, I was like, ah, fuck it. Me and Loverboy were good. Good night, baby. Nothing was wrong. It wasn't out of spite. It was just like, I felt like myself. And so the therapist said a few things to me. He said that even though I have a lot of friends in New York, the only person I care about is him, Loverboy.
Loverboy,
so
yeah.
All of this pressure is on this one person for things to work, for everything to be perfect, for him to come home, because I don't care that deeply about anyone else in New York. The emotions he was speaking about were not necessarily from a romantic level, but from what I have with friends. And he said, You move to New York, and where a lot of people think when you first move you're going to feel upset, you don't. You're so excited. Everything is new. You're too busy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Which now, was how you were the whole first year you were here.
It's like, now you're settled and things are real, which is why you had to get a last-minute Thanksgiving. I wasn't going home for Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's like, fuck it. I got that flight maybe 48 hours before. He's like, because you're making these irrational decisions. You don't know what's going on because you feel completely alone. He said, because he said, I said, sometimes I'll cry out of nowhere and everything is fine. Actually, it was Loverboy's house, went to the bathroom, and we had just got done having sex, and I went to the bathroom to cry for a minute because I didn't know where it was coming from. And I think I just felt like such a high and everything was good. And then I'm like, oh my God, now the sex is over. Now what's going to happen? It's stuff that's absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Like, my mom said, do you think he's sleeping with someone else? I said, man, my mark is all over that apartment. There's no way. Even if he was, I don't even know, dude. This is not about him. It's something that's so internal. But when I got home to Orlando, it just felt like me. People that love me were there. I felt at home. I felt more comfortable. I was waking up just like knowing my purpose. It was so weird. And so then when I saw old boy and we was out, I'm like, yo, you mad cute. When we was in New York, you never kissed me. I was waiting for you to kiss me all night. What's that? And we were fucked up. I don't know what happened.
But you know what happened.
It was dope. But yeah, okay. It's crazy because the therapist, like, I've always thought therapy was bullshit. And I guess which, like, a lot of black people feel like mental health is like a fucking BS thing. But bro, I fucking talked to him last night before our date and like felt like I was on a cloud. Just airing it out to someone that's completely unbiased is great. And yeah, I wish that we could do ads for therapy. So if you guys want to shoot some money.
That it's crazy because I haven't thought to see a therapist. I really feel like I have a strong idea of who I am. And I guess I'll go back to the conversation that I was having.
I don't think it's about who you are. I think it's about...
Well, even just my understanding of what I want and what I don't want. So back to the conversation that I was having with A. King, I literally, and I kind of compartmentalized this to the relationships that Nola Dottie had in the sense that when I think of three things that I really want from a guy, I know that I want the sexual connection. I know that I want to be around you, and I want to know that you're financially secure. And for those three things, I'm not gonna settle with a person who I feel lacks in any of those three particular departments, because then I feel like I will seek one of those three things from someone else. So in the space that I am right now, being a full-time student, working, doing everything that I'm doing, my time is very limited. So I clearly want to be around you. If I don't want to be around you, I'm not going to connect to you.
This is the one other thing I have to be very honest that I did not like about Nola Dorn. She's got to have it. All three of them, I'm sorry, but the fact that she didn't want to wife any of them, it's because a lot of them were lacking shit she wanted, just like you said.
But no, but that's what I'm saying.
And I'm sorry, but you're not really going to meet a man that gives you the total package and you not want to fucking lock him down, bro.
But bullshit, because this was my issue even with...
One is emotionally unavailable. One is too full of himself. She couldn't laugh with him. She couldn't take him serious. Then one is living with his sister.
But each three of these bring the things that I want. One is financially secure in what you have with Jamie.
Is that the girl?
I don't know. Probably. Sorry, guys. We have a guest coming. Jesus. And so one is financially secure. The other is in a space where he doesn't have his shit together, but he's fun to be around.
Yeah.
And then you have the third one who sexually brings her on.
But that's the thing.
And
though.
So to me,
none of them, she didn't want to wife any of them. And so we're sitting here like, oh, this girl is so dope and she can fucking just play the game and blah, blah, blah. But none of them were really that nigga.
But
for her,
I'm saying I have that same thing. Bitch, Felimbe.
Are you fine?
No, in me comparing.
Because you don't want to wife guys a lot. You're like way less emotional than me. That's true.
No, but I do become emotionally attached to guys. Absolutely.
Yeah, you do.
You don't know my last 5 years of dating because we haven't been friends.
For the last 40 shows we've done, bro.
I really would have. You've had
feelings.
I would have wiped. I would have cut everybody off from Lawyer Bay.
I'm saying you can be more of a Nola Darling than I can. Do you not agree with that?
No, absolutely.
So do you not think.
Which is what I just said before you cut me off.
No, I hear you. But what I'm saying is, do you not agree that you find that some of the show is bullshit? Because what are the odds that a girl can really be with these three men and fucking feel like, I'm sorry, I just don't.
That's why I said maybe you didn't like the show as much because you really seek these emotional connections. And with me, I relate to her in the sense that I do have partners. I have different guys in my phones 24/7. I love being around. He's funny. We talk, we catch up on each other's lives. His personality is bomb. We talk. And then he fucks the dog shit out of me. Felon Bay wasn't as great in bed, but I truly enjoyed being around him. And then we have Lawyer Bay, who I enjoyed everything about him, but his mental was not there to where I stopped enjoying even talking to him. And so I do have these three things from each guy's, but all three guys aren't everything that I would want in a guy to me. And so I can genuinely enjoy all these guys, enjoy what I get from each of these guys, and not like dislike them, not have feelings for them, because I do have feelings for all of them, but I can still not want to be with them, if that makes sense. And that's because if I sit here and I decide, hey, I want to commit to you, I'm telling you, I'm ready to cut all my hoes off. And if you don't make me feel like I can cut all my hoes off, I'm not going to commit to you, because I don't want to get into a relationship where I still feel like I need something from another man. And again, I'm not going to be with a broke nigga who I super like, because if I feel like I got to ask the next nigga for tuition or listen, I want these shoes, I'm not going to be with a man. And I talk to, and I say this a lot with my homegirls, because they've had boyfriends and have had sugar daddies. And I'm like, why the fuck would you commit to a man who you feel like you still need to be financially dependent on another man for?
Right.
And so what Nola did was she enjoyed little things of all of these men, even though she didn't see herself being with them long term. There was a piece of them that made her happy, and I think that's me.
She gave me the impression that, I don't know, that, so generally with polyamorous relationships, you have a, I don't want to use the word main, there's another word, primary, sorry.
Right.
You have a primary, and that person fulfills most of the things.
And she didn't have that.
Right, which is why it was, I think, a little bit harder for me to be like, oh, is this a good representation?
Well, you know what poly means. And so, yeah, if you want to literally dissect the show as far as...
I'm not saying that they have to share and fucking be these kumbaya, like Brooklyn Williamsburg, Bushwick ass niggas that be doing the shit. You know what I'm saying?
To me, like, what it was, it was honestly not poly at all. To me, it was a single woman enjoying her sexual partners and enjoying the relationships that she had with these different men.
Polyamorous, because polyamorous means you actually have relationships with the... And she did.
I do.
But
girl, 24/7 said, I'm fucking you like this so that you know that you're not getting fucked right by your other niggas. When I cussed out the nigga who was paying my bills, he said, did everybody get cussed out today or just me? They're all very aware that I have other relationships with other guys.
Right.
And so, but they're not signing up to be in a polyamorous relationship where they know my specific relationship with each of these
men.
But
also, a lot of these men that you're in these relationships are unavailable.
No, except for the ones who pay my... The married ones are unavailable. 24/7 is not unavailable.
Unavailable in terms of like...
No, absolutely. We've talked about this. Felon Bay is not was not unavailable. Lawyer Bay, up until when we stopped talking, was not
like,
unavailable.
Not married, but I'm talking in terms of like...
If I wanted to sit here and make the relationship anything different than what it was, bitch, 24/7, I've seen... He's been on my phone every single day
for
the last week and a half.
Are you looking for someone actively?
Right now.
Are you like...
Right now... Because of where I am in my life, and because I'm focused on my career, and because I don't have the time to give that I would want to give to a relationship right now, I'm not looking. Would I have settled down with Lawyer Bay when that situation was at a place where we could have? Absolutely. Because I was at a place where bank account was lit, school, I was about to graduate, I'm about to start my career. He's a lawyer. He just got his place. I was ready. Right now that I didn't add it another semester, I have to deal with CPA. If someone falls into my life, absolutely I would be in a relationship. But he would have to make me want to cut all these niggas off. That's just what it is. Like, so I would be in a relationship, and I'm very emotional. Like, I was just even talking to nigga I pissed on, and he's just like, oh my God. And that I've been talking to for 10 years.
The thing I hate about going back to like old dudes is because whenever like Loverboy pissed me off, I'll be like, damn, I cut off my holes off. And then it's like not even niggas that I really want to fuck with. It's just like, right. I'm bored.
Yeah. Well, I have a problem cutting guys off. But anyways, guys, Jesus, that was quite, I guess, a talk. We'll sit here and I guess we got about 10 minutes to wrap up here? The show. Yeah. Okay. We'll go ahead. Before we sign out for this show, and I hope you guys really enjoyed it, because I think we kind of got into some deep talking. Y'all heard a little bit of funny shit, but not really, but it was cool.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and update you guys on our Patreon account. And for those of you who don't know, and questions that we've been getting that I want to clear up, we have the Patreon account in which we'll be posting bonus episodes, bonus footage, live footage, different things depending on how much we're able to raise, and of course bringing more live shows to you guys later in the future. But these shows that you guys are listening to on wherever you listen to are not going anywhere. We will still be dropping an episode every week for you guys, whether you listen to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, iHeartRadio. We're still going to be here. What the Patreon does is it allows you guys to support us. Y'all know we ain't getting no ads in real life. We ain't, and this is all coming out of our pockets. And what we want to be able to do is provide video footage to you guys. We want to be able to provide you guys longer episodes or bonus episodes. And so that's what Patreon allows us to do. And you can go to that link. It's patreon.com/horrible decisions.
Also, I wanted to say I've had some people write me specifically in Orlando, I guess, because we're from there. But also someone in Atlanta as well, discussing doing live shows there. According to our analytics, Atlanta is another big listen to city.
That's our second
city.
Actually,
we posted, should we do it in Atlanta? And mad people wrote us.
That's our second city.
So if any of you, I would like to finance our own shows so we can make this money. You feel me? But if any of you guys know promoters or maybe venues that you would like to see Horrible Decisions at, or, you know, you want to tag us with your promoter, hit us up with stuff about that, because I would love to do a show. We've actually been talking to a friend of ours, D Strong. Shout out to 104.5 in Orlando. It's a radio station. He wants to host our Orlando show. So he's trying to bring us out there.
It ain't going
to
be no time soon.
Why do you keep saying that?
We ain't had this conversation. It ain't going to be no time soon.
Why?
I have 7 classes next semester. On top of, for those of you who don't know, I work at an investment bank. And, bitch, I work in the tax department. So we have busy season coming up.
But, bitch, you were cool with Atlanta.
Oh, no, I was going to tell you we're not doing it till after tax season as well. Maybe May, maybe
anyway,
summertime.
Listen,
I'm not even going to hold y'all.
That bitch could do one. If you can fly out for some dick during tax season, you can fly out for some money.
And I didn't fly out for dick last tax season.
Okay, well, bitch, you might.
Anyways, guys, yeah. So another one ain't coming no time soon. A bitch was stressed.
I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
Thanks for Patreon. Not only thanks for Patreon.
I want to thank you guys so much for leaving comments on our iTunes reviews. Me and Weezy actually read them, and they like fucking touch our hearts. And real quick, I want to give a shout out. Today I got a tweet from Jessie Isabel 56. She said,
"Oh my god, that was so sweet."
Attending a sexual empowerment session at NSEC 17. And was able to share how I felt empowered listening to Horrible Decisions with Full Court Pumps and Weezy. She also said, I love how you two keep it real and talk about topics that many don't feel comfortable doing, and that you also advocate for safe sex, as well as being comfortable with your own sexuality and your needs as a sexual being. So shout out, Jesse. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you very much.
Not until the show did I realize, like, nobody came up to us. Awesome shit.
Y'all some hoes.
No, some dudes said, thanks for bringing the hoes out. But no one came up to us and was like, fuck yeah, blah, blah, blah. They were just like, you touch me in this way and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? Like, that shit really touched my heart. And it's funny because I'm just sitting here looking across from the bananas by our mouths.
Seeing us suck on bananas.
And I just could not believe so many women spoke to us that way. Everybody was just so eloquent and beautiful and fucking. I just really thought there was going to be some ratchet hoes, because we are. Mainly
but
you.
We classy ratchet, bitch.
We are.
And it's so crazy because my coworkers even came to me and said, I'm not going to lie, the men that came out to your live show were dressed so well.
Hold on. Let me say one other thing that people shocked me at before we go get our next guest for next week's episode. There was a swinger couple that's been writing us, and you asked her boyfriend, how are you okay with her sleeping with other men? How does it make you feel? Blah, blah, blah. And I was waiting for a nigga to say something.
And they listened.
Someone
Tahoe
told me.
Was in the corner shaking his head the whole goddamn time.
I think
time.
Loverboy was going like, who is that guy who's like, ew. But
Tahoe, yeah.
It was Tahoe. But no one said anything. No one judged him. And I thought some niggas was going to be funny. And I feel like everybody is just on the same level and respects different kinks. And that's one thing that I learned from this.
Yeah,
absolutely. And some girls were like, oh my God, it felt like everybody knew each other. Because y'all was a nasty ass neck.
Y'all was making friends with each other and shit. I loved it. It was super dope. Are you looking for something?
A whole mail.
No. We'll go ahead and read that. We don't have time for a whole mail. We actually don't.
Send some questions in, y'all.
Yeah. If you guys can go ahead
and... We're writing too many of y'all niggas back.
Yeah. Can you go ahead and send us your whole mail? We're not going to do it this episode, but we're going to do it next episode, y'all. I think we did good with catching them up on everything, but you guys can send us your whole mail at horribledecisions@gmail.com. What's happening is a lot of you guys are sending us home mail to our DMs, but because we post so much and you guys love us, y'all are also sending us memes and commenting on our IG stories, and we're not being able to find the home mail. So if you guys can please send home mail to our Gmail, it would be great. But this has been, you know, this has been awesome, and I'm so glad that we were able to catch up with you guys. And yeah, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Bye.
N-W-E-M-G.
More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money. More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money. Once upon a time, not long ago, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it, I won't take it back. Cause I did this shit, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it, I won't take it back. Cause I did this shit, I was a hoe. More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money. More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money.
I say, if I wanna fuck, I'm gon' fuck him. But if he ain't got a buck, I won't cuff him. Spend 100 on me, it ain't nothing. Wanted double D, so he stuffed him. Back to the point, is it some cash in this place? If it is, I'll probably stick the stats in your face. Turn around, then he asked about the taste. He fell in love like the passion of Drake. But I fuck him though, and I don't even care if his mother know. It's about that paper on another note. And I fake a baby like the rubber broke. And once upon a time, not long ago, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it, I won't take it back. Cause I did this shit, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it, I won't take it back. Cause I did this shit, I was a hoe. More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money. More money, I want your money. I want more money. This is for all my hoes. All my gold digging hoes. Money getting love, my hoes. About the riches, all my hoes. Broke niggas don't do those. And I'm admitting it, I rip a nigga of his benefits. Cineflick, tennis strip, independent chick. Turn a bitch in the L in the generous. Yeah, contrary, I'm the blonde bomb scare. I'm rare on top, got a lot con air. True dime, Mulan, where I find my hair. If you ain't buying, get from down round here. D-O-double-L-A R-S, y'all motherfuckers gon' pay. D-O-double-L-A R-S, y'all motherfuckers gon' pay. Once upon a time, not long ago, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it, I won't take it back. Cause I did this shit, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting it, I won't take it back. Cause I did this shit, I was a hoe. More money, I want your money. I want more money, I want your money. More money, I want your money. I want more money.